The FAA grounds Sikorsky S-92s for hardware changes. Investigators probe two weekend crashes. And airline service resumes over Alaska. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, March 25th, 2009. As was expected, the FAA yesterday issued an emergency airworthiness directive grounding all Sikorsky S-92 medium-lift transport helicopters until titanium mounting studs used on the gearbox filter bowl assembly can be swapped out with steel replacements. The EAD follows a March 12th ditching of an S-92 off Newfoundland that claimed 17 lives. The AD reads, in part, quote, "Prior to the accident, the manufacturer was investigating a July 2008 incident that also involved broken studs. In both cases, the broken studs resulted in rapid loss of oil. The failures have been tied to fretting and galling of the original titanium studs. Therefore, we are requiring the removal of all titanium studs and replacement with steel studs," unquote. On Monday, Sikorsky said close to half the worldwide fleet of S-92s has already had the mounting studs replaced, and that it expects close to 100% compliance by the end of this week. As investigators work on the scene of Sunday's crash of a Pilatus PC-12 near Butte, Montana, AOPA's Air Safety Foundation is cautioning against premature finger-pointing. This case has the potential to be an especially emotional one, since 7 of the 14 fatalities were said to be children. Early theories include an encounter with icing, a plane which may have been overweight or out of CG range, and mechanical failure. Foundation President Bruce Landsberg is reminding everyone, quote, "It's important to remember that except for the extremely rare single-point catastrophic failure, aviation accidents are almost invariably the result of a chain of events and decisions. The National Transportation Safety Board is extremely good at accident reconstruction, but it will take them months to find and then unravel all the links in this accident's chain," unquote. FedEx mourned the loss of two of its own on Monday, one day after the fatal landing accident of a company MD-11F at Tokyo's Narita International Airport. 54-year-old Captain Kevin Kyle Mosley and 49-year-old First Officer Anthony Stephen Pino died in a hard porpoising landing which led to a fiery inverted crash next to runway 34 left early Monday morning. FedEx founder and CEO Fred Smith commented, quote, "Right now our focus is on doing everything we can to assist the family and those affected at this difficult time. This loss pains all of us," unquote. A wind shear warning had reportedly been issued just before the crash. Other speculation has focused on the MD-11's computer-assisted pitch stability augmentation system. The Wall Street Journal reports that system has come under fire for being difficult to handle in gusting winds close to the ground. FedEx spokesman Maury Lane told Bloomberg the Narita accident is the company's first fatal crash involving a mainline aircraft. It was also the first fatal crash at Narita. NTSB has sent investigators to the scene. Alaska Airlines canceled passenger flights in and out of the cities of Fairbanks, Bethel, Prudhoe Bay, Nome, Kotzebue, and Barrow on Monday due to volcanic ash caused by an eruption of Mount Redoubt. The flights had resumed by late yesterday morning, but the Alaska Airlines website cautions travelers to check ahead for any further disruptions to the schedule caused by the volcano. It also has a new feature allowing ticket holders to follow updates on Twitter. Any passenger booked on a canceled flight over the 3 days, March 22nd through 24th, will be allowed to rebook prior to March 30th without penalty, or apply for a full refund of the unused portion of the ticket. Up next on ANN, Europe provides details on its version of next-gen ATC. Do all those wires make you nervous? And one CEO says a return to airline regulation would be fine with him. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 25th. I'm Paul Plagg. Europe is getting started on its own version of next-generation air traffic control. The Associated Press reports the GPS-based system will eliminate reliance on radio beacons and enable controllers to break free from the decades-old limitation of structured airways. Eurocontrol, the regional ATC agency, says the system's ability to reduce waits and holds will save the airlines about 4 billion euros per year in reduced fuel consumption. That's equivalent to about $5 billion U.S. The data processing infrastructure for the system will be based in Maastricht, the Netherlands, and will initially control traffic only over Belgium, the Netherlands, Luxembourg, and northwest Germany. Eurocontrol spokeswoman Mareli Roman says it will eventually operate continent-wide. Expert predictions call for flights over Europe to more than double, from 10 million now to 20.4 million by 2030. Full implementation of the GPS-based ATC is targeted in Europe for 2025. The U.S. is working on a system which would offer similar benefits but is not fully compatible with the hardware proposed for use in Europe's system. With all the new in-flight entertainment options being introduced in airliners, do you worry at all about the miles of extra wiring required to make it all work? Mary Schiavo does. If that name rings a bell, Mary is a former inspector general who followed a stormy 6 years rocking the boat at DOT with a book titled Flying Blind, Flying Safe. She's now back in private law practice, specializing in transportation litigation, and recently announced a lawsuit against DOT and the FAA for dragging their feet on safety measures recommended by the NTSB, risking what she calls deja vu disasters. Now, she's warning that one such lesson we risk repeating is the crash of a Swissair MD-11 off Nova Scotia in 1998, which investigators blamed on an electrical fire started by arcing in cabin wiring. She observes, quote, "Any time more wiring is added to an aircraft, there is more chance for something to go wrong," unquote. Airlines and manufacturers say modern systems are far safer than those of 1998. Digital technology allows distribution using fewer wires carrying very small currents. Cabin insulation is less flammable. And USA Today reports that out of hundreds of cases of smoke or electrical smell reported since 1998, only 44 have been the fault of in-flight entertainment systems. FAA's Les Dorr says the agency takes the issue seriously. Quote, "We ensure all necessary actions are taken to determine the event's root cause and to identify any needed safety actions," unquote. Bombardier Aerospace yesterday announced three European suppliers for its C-Series aircraft program. Alenia Aeronautica of Italy will provide the horizontal and vertical stabilizers, fully equipped with hydraulic, electrical, and flight control systems, lights, and antennas. Goodrich Actuation Systems of the UK will be responsible for the design and production of the flap and slat actuation systems. Fokker Elmo of the Netherlands will be responsible for the design and production of the entire wiring and interconnection system, and will design and produce all flight test and instrumentation wiring required during certification. The narrowbody C-Series was announced last July and earned its first firm orders from Lufthansa last month. The 110- and 130-seat aircraft are intended to compete with smaller variants of the Boeing 737 and the Airbus A320 and are scheduled to enter production sometime in 2013. In a recent interview with Houston Chronicle business columnist Lauren Steffi, Continental CEO Larry Kellner came right out and said what many of his counterparts in the U.S. airline industry may be thinking to themselves. Quote, "If the government wanted to re-regulate the business, I wouldn't be opposed to it," unquote. Steffi called that comment stunning. But prior to 1978, regulation essentially eliminated route competition among airlines and allowed much higher fares. Kellner declined to embrace a full reimposition of the pre-1978 system, but he did add, quote, What we've got today doesn't work. It isn't creating a stable industry, unquote. Kellner does say he wants regulation controlling fuel prices and labor costs. In particular, he says the Railway Labor Act, written in the 1920s and revised in 1936, quote, creates a very cumbersome process. It hasn't worked well since deregulation. It creates a tremendous amount of angst on both sides, unquote. Congress has shown little interest in updating that law, although members of the U.S. House Aviation Subcommittee did appear open to the idea following testimony last month from First Officer Jeffrey Skiles of U.S. Airways Flight 1549. Still ahead, there are some changes in Houston airspace. The inventor of the G-suit has passed away. And Airborne Traffic Patrol has an unexpected benefit. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, March 25th. I'm Paul Plack. On Monday, the FAA announced it's implemented the second phase of its three-phase airspace plan in Houston. Flights headed to Houston from the Northeast can now use another arrival route, which allows controllers to separate low-performance props and turboprops from the heavies. For flights departing to the East, there are now three departure routes, where there was one to the East and one to the Southeast before. The changes also included a new severe weather avoidance procedure route at the Southeast Corner Post. The route will allow controllers to keep arriving aircraft moving when thunderstorms block another arrival route. The third phase of the plan is scheduled to take effect next summer, which will bring more options to manage west side traffic. Aero News has learned Dr. Earl Wood, formerly of the Mayo Clinic, credited with inventing the high-altitude pressure suit worn by pilots and astronauts, died March 18th in Rochester, Minnesota. He was 97 years old. Wood was born on New Year's Day in 1912 in Mankato, Minnesota. He was a 1934 graduate of McAllister College, later adding his Ph.D. and M.D. at the University of Minnesota. Starting in 1942, Dr. Wood was an integral member of the Mayo Clinic Aeromedical Unit, which developed the first civilian-human centrifuge in the U.S. Wood is also credited with an instrumental role in the development of cardiopulmonary bypass and other techniques, which established an international reputation for the Mayo Clinic. If you've been exposed to aviation jargon, you're probably familiar with the term CRM. Crew resource management was in the spotlight during the U.S. Airways ditching in the Hudson River, and flight schools sometimes refer to it as cockpit resource management in single pilot operations. But there's a new CRM being studied by the airlines, and it stands for Customer Relationship Management. It involves equipping employees who serve you with the information they need to do so more personally. The Wall Street Journal reports airlines have been slow to exploit CRM, largely because of incompatible computer systems. One early sign U.S. airlines are getting it is Alaska Air's new post-boarding perk for frequent flyers seated in coach. Flight attendants will bring you your favorite drink and greet you by name. Cam Marston, a frequent flyer with Delta, American, and U.S. Airways, was on an Alaska flight recently when a nearby Alaska frequent flyer was served the drink. Quote, "It really made an impression. With the technology available today, it would seem easy to add personalized service. I think there's a huge opportunity," unquote. Obsolete IT infrastructure is slowing the adoption of the techniques which have been common for years at fine hotels and online retailers, but Alaska Airlines is proving it can be done. Its conspicuous greetings and drink deliveries have been implemented despite customer information being scattered across six different computer systems. The last link in the chain is decidedly low-tech. Flight attendants are given manifests with frequent customers identified on a piece of paper. And finally, the Seattle Post-Intelligencer reports an unexpected benefit from the use of infrared-equipped aircraft for traffic patrol by the Washington State Patrol. WSP reports that twice in the last month, its plane has spotted graffiti vandals using forward-looking infrared, enabling their arrest. In the latest case, the taggers were spraying a wall in the dark, and officers in an arriving patrol car couldn't spot them. So airborne troopers watched using infrared and guided the arresting officers to the crime scene, Obviously, this could turn into an expensive way to fight graffiti, but cleaning it up isn't cheap either. The PI notes the operational costs on the aircraft run about $244 per hour. Olympia Police said removing the mess from the noise mitigation wall will cost about $700. The taggers were charged with malicious mischief and could be fined $1,000 and spend a year in jail. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, U.S. Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Jackie Marty tells war stories to attendees at Women in Aviation International. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.